Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to Jesus, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "I have been with you for so long a time, and you still do not know me, Philip. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else, believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything of me in my name, I will do." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Once in a while, I guess, as most people do, my wife and I take a day and we go somewhere. Yeah, fine. Well, just a day trip, but one of those day trips that we say to each other, it's a simple fun, simple thing. Might just be gone for a ball. Unexpectedly. One of those things we say, you know, we should do this more often. And in the process, we seem to have developed an unintentional tradition of sorts. What's happened is, you know, we have satellite radio in the car, and as we're going off on our drive, we turn on the 60s channel. You know, 60s on 6? Which is very unlike us, really. It's not so much that we like the music, but I guess maybe, I don't know, it brings us back to a younger time. Something like that, you know. And you do get some interesting insights. We had one of these trips just the other day, and we had a 60s channel on, and there was a song by Blood, Sweat, and Tears. The name of it is "When I Die." Does anybody remember that song? I bet Tom does. You have it on your iPhone. And, you know, the words of the song are interesting. Just in a piece that says, "I'm not scared of dying, and I don't really care. I can swear there ain't no heaven, but I pray there ain't no hell. But I'll never know by living, only my dying will tell." What's scary is that there probably was a time when I thought words like these were profound. And now you listen to them and you say, "What? What are you talking about?" He did get one thing right. Okay, he's a very uncertain person, whoever it is singing this song. He can swear, he knows, he can swear there ain't no heaven, but he prays there ain't no hell. But only my dying will tell. Well, he got that part right. When he dies, he will find out for sure. He won't be questioning anymore. He will find out the answer. But the only problem with that is that it'll be too late. It'll be too late to do anything about it. You know, it underscores the problem, I think, with all of us in so many ways. We just don't see the game. Now, what did Jesus say to Philip in today's gospel? "Philip, you've been with me for how long? You still don't get it, you know?" Philip, I think, at least had a plausible excuse. He could have said, "Lord, we're going to
It's a short time, you know. Give us some time to get used to this new thing of yours. But what about us? What about our excuses for those times that we just don't seem to get it? I think that's the undercurrent of what the message of Fatima is about. Why don't people get it? Why don't you get it? I don't know about you, but over the course of many years, I've heard many people, including priests, religious sisters, and so forth. Now I'm thinking of these people in my mind. Nobody in the diocese, if you don't know them, you can't second guess me. But I can't tell you how many people I've heard say that they're turned off. They really don't like the message of Fatima because the message is so dark. Have you heard that? You didn't really say that the message of Fatima is a dark message. How do you people? You know, but it's almost like saying, I really get turned off by the Surgeon General because his warning that I've had cigarettes is so dark. If Fatima is a dark message, then so is the gospel. Because there is absolutely nothing in the message of Fatima that is not Fatima in the gospel, which is in fact the condition for an apparition to be approved today. Although perhaps Fatima might be a bit more direct. When I was in high school or whatnot, listening to these 60s songs when they were new, or sort of new, there was no warning on a pack of cigarettes. Only later on was there a warning get introduced and said, warning, the Surgeon General has determined that cigarette smoking may be hazardous to you. What does it say now, today? Says, warning, cigarette smoking causes cancer to death. Would have pretty much, the last time I looked, a little smoking. What a dark message. But yet, do you see how many young people there are out there starting to smoke? Why are they doing it? How come even there we just don't see? The message of Fatima is needed today more than ever. The warning of Fatima is that sin is cancer. Cancer. Spiritual cancer. The kind of cancer that causes death. Eternal death. We need to remember that. We need to hear that. Especially because the world we live in is not a neutral world. We live in a world where the general thinking is that everyone is going to be saved. That great sin of presumption. I have a loving God, and that loving God is going to forgive me. It sure takes away any motivation to repent, which is what the message of Fatima is, one of turning toward God and repentance. That first secret of Fatima, which, you know, there's no secret, no secrets. It's not a secret at all. I don't even like to call it a secret, but it's a vision of hell, which, if nothing more, is a safeguard against that sin of presumption. Yes, God's mercy is infinite, but we need to say yes to that mercy. We need to acknowledge that we have sins, and we are in need of mercy, and we need to have our sins forgiven. How many today think that sin is no big deal? God in his mercy would never allow anyone to perish, right? But that kind of thinking is to be found nowhere in Scripture, nowhere in the Gospel, nowhere in the tradition of church, in the traditions of the church. Opening up oneself to God's mercy is a life-changing experience. Like the woman caught in adultery. You know the story. They brought her before Jesus, saying the law of Moses demands that she be stoned to death. And Jesus begins to write and ground her sins, and one by one they leave. And he's alone there with the woman. He says to her, he asks her the question, is there no one here to condemn you? And her answer is not no one. Udis. It's udis kyrios. No one, Lord. And so our Lord gives those tremendously healing, free words. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Mercy and compassion, but with conversion, a change of heart. Conversion of life is the fruit of receiving mercy. And so we humans desperately need to hear the warnings of Fatima, because we so readily will exchange the truth for a lie and worship the creature rather than the creator. We need to hear the warnings of Fatima because the world we live in is not good. It constantly feeds us lies. And all of us, every last one of us, except for our beloved mother, because of our original sin, has the inclination to follow our fallen, disordered desires. The first letter of John tells us that the world is under the control of the evil one. The evil one who works through deception and lies, masquerading as goodness and truth. As I'm sure you all know, the greatest deception of all was reminded of by one of the visionaries herself, Sister Lucia, when she said, the final battle between the Lord and the reign of Satan will be about marriage and the family. And what's happened? The final battle seems to be going on right now. But then she adds, don't be afraid, because anyone who operates for the sanctity of marriage and family will always be contended and opposed in every way, because this is the decisive issue. And she concludes with the words, Our Lady has already crushed the head of the evil one. We need the warnings of Fatima because Jesus himself, John chapter 3, verse 19, tells us that people prefer the darkness to the light. This is because that insidious evil one, how does he spread the lie? He paints a rosy picture. He tells us, after all, we all need to get along with each other. Be nice. Coexist. Just agree and say that everything is even if everything is not okay. You see, sin tells us that everything is okay. Don't worry. Sin tells us that the road to salvation is broad and wide, and everyone is going that way, whereas the road to hell is narrow and practically no one is on. Jesus says just the opposite. Jesus has some very sobering words in the gospel. In Luke's gospel, someone asked Jesus directly that question.
will many be saved? You remember his answer?
I have.
Someone, most people asked Jesus directly, Lord, will only a few be saved? He answered them, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. And after the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then you will stand outside knocking and saying, Lord, open the door for us. And he will say to you in reply, I do not know who you are. And you will say to him, Lord, we ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets. And he will say, I do not know who you are. Depart from me, you evil. And then there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. When asked, will many be saved? He didn't give numbers. What we want are numbers. He was a percentage. He didn't do that. But nor did he say, don't worry, just chill. He said quite the opposite. It's called tough love. Parents understand tough love. And the warning of Fatima are nothing more than a rephrasing of the warnings of the gospel. You want to know the three secrets of the gospel? It's not according to Sister Lucy, it's according to me. The three secrets of the gospel. Secret number one, God loves you. Secret number two, you need to respond to that. Secret number three. If you do, eternal life begins now. If you don't, there will be eternal consequences. You know, St. John Paul II once said, it is necessary to awaken again in believers a full relationship with Christ, mankind's only Savior. Only from a personal relationship with Jesus can an effective evangelism. Sounds more like Billy Graham than St. John Paul II with that personal relationship. Yet this is exactly what the message of Fatima demands from us. Opening ourselves, opening our lives to the Holy Spirit, which leads to a personal relationship with Jesus. And then the Father's love and mercy. So let me close by asking you a question, giving you something to reflect on. If on this day, the 100th anniversary of the first apparition of Fatima, if the Blessed Mother would appear to you, legitimate, honest to goodness, apparition. And she appears to you and says, that's it. Your time is up. My son has given enough warnings. I have given enough warnings. His return is imminent. What would you do? Would you make some changes in your life? Would you try to get a confession as quickly as possible? Would you perhaps pray a little more than you would have normally done? Apparition or not, if the answer to that question is yes, I would make changes, then you need to make those changes. Because you've been told over and over again that the Lord's return is imminent. And indeed it is. Sister Lucia, what do we have? In the year 2005, the year she died, 97 years old, I believe, she said, I'm not focusing on miracles. I am more focused on the Ten Commandments. We are going to be judged on the Ten Commandments when we die. We must stop offending God. We must know God. And then she summed it up with what she called the 11th commandment. do whatever God tells you. That's what our Lady